Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Sephora stores are everywhere you are, so just pop in when you need a brown lip to match your 90s playlist, a confidence boost before your interview, or a last-minute gift for mom's birthday. There's always a Sephora near you. Just pop in. Use our store locator to find your local Sephora or Sephora at Kohl's.
A penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. A girl who loved to please. A ghost is recently deceased. A real cool mom. A musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey.
Hi, it's Carrie Butler with Breaking Broadway. Today's guest is my friend from Mean Girls, Riza Takahashi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so excited to have Riza here because she is one of the most interesting stories I have ever heard. So why don't you kind of start with how you even got interested in musical theater? She's from Japan.
So I am from Japan. Hi, I'm Riza Takahashi. I'm originally from Japan. I was born and raised and grew up until 16. But growing up, I just danced, sang, acted, but all in Japanese. And at some point along the way, I found out this place called Broadway that they have all these musicals on one street, and I don't know how I've heard it, but I have proof that I think second grade or something in an album it says I want to be on Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, written in Japanese, and one of my teachers had sent that to me, and I was like, I have no idea how I found out about Broadway. So then it was always my dream to be on Broadway. But I think around like 12 or 13, I realized if you want to be on Broadway, I need to be able to speak English.
But wait, did you listen to Broadway cast albums, or did you have any like knowledge of Broadway?
Not really.
You just heard about the Street of All Shares.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did go see all these shows in Japanese.
Oh, like Broadway shows that would come to Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't in English. It was like translated in Japanese. Like,
okay.
So I would see like Cats or Lion King.
Okay.
So I knew what musicals in a high production like
that is,
but I've never seen Broadway shows, or I knew that Broadway existed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so then around like 14, 15, so in Japan, the school system is a little different, and 6 years of elementary school and 3 years of middle school. So then when I was about to graduate from middle school and everybody was picking high school, mm-hmm. I was like, this is when I should leave Japan, because if I don't leave now and if I have too thick of an accent, then 16-year-old me thought, I'm going to be only doing Asian shows.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to expand my opportunities to be in any kinds of shows, whether you're the skin of your color is my color or white or black or anything.
Yes.
So then I was like, I'm going to leave Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did.
So how did you do that? Were your parents supportive?
Yeah. Actually, what? My mom is the one who was like, go, just do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went to high school in the United States?
Actually, I found a public high school in Canada.
Okay.
And that's where I went for 3 years of high school.
Did you live by yourself?
I lived with a host family.
Oh my gosh.
For 3 years.
Wow.
So I just like left by myself, which was, you know,
now it's scary.
Now I think about it, it's like, oh yeah, that must have been scary. But I was so determined back mm-hmm. then that I was like, this is what I'm doing. And I didn't even look back, which now, like, that's a very fearless thing to do looking back. And that's crazy.
Because you didn't even speak English at that point, right?
I didn't.
Oh my gosh.
But I think sometimes not knowing what you're getting yourself into is very helpful. I didn't know.
Right.
So I was like, I'm just going to go.
Okay.
And then I went and I was like, oh no, I have no idea what anybody's saying. So the first day of school is me basically running around school trying to find out where this gym class is because it wasn't at the gym. It was at the library, but I didn't know how to read or ask, I guess. So it was like a vivid memory of like me running around school.
How did you learn?
So it was in a very rural area where there were cows, horses. It like bus would only come once in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So there were no other really Japanese people.
Yeah.
So I was forced to basically learn the language, which is helpful.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the easiest way, toughest way, I guess, too. But I was forced to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So then by the time I graduated high school, I was good enough to get into a musical theater college mm-hmm. in an English level.
So you applied. Did you have to audition for college?
Yeah, I did fly down to LA mm-hmm. by myself. And they had this like unified audition where all the colleges would come and audition a bunch of kids. So I went there by myself and auditioned a bunch of schools. And I got into one of the schools in Connecticut. So at the Hart School. So that's where I went for college.
And did you have a BFA in?
Yeah. I went to a BFA program.
And was it in musical theater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you finished. You finished college, and then what uh-huh. happened?
And then, I mean, throughout college, I was able to audition for a bunch of regional theaters, and I was fortunate enough to be hired for the Muni.
Oh, or during theater, college.
During college.
Good.
So I knew what I got my feet wet a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, this is what real world is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so wonderful to be able to work with Broadway stars at uh-huh. the Muni and Broadway stars at Wichita. Uh-huh. And it was really cool. So after that, 4 years of college, I moved to New York City by myself. Obviously, like just like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
And I started auditioning.
Did you get your equity card from doing those shows at the Muni?
I didn't turn equity then, but I got this show after a year on a year after graduation. This show called Waterfall, and that was a Maltby and Shire show.
Oh yeah.
That's how I got my equity card.
Was that on Broadway?
No, it was out of town tryout. It's still in process of reading and everything, but it was in Pasadena Playhouse in LA and Seattle Fifth Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have an agent when you graduated from college?
I didn't.
So were you just going on open calls?
Every day.
Really?
Yeah, during the season time, I would go a couple auditions a day.
So most of these jobs that you got through open calls.
Yes.
And you weren't even equity at that point. So were you?
No.
So did you have to like wait hours to go in?
Yes. One time, I think I auditioned for King and I on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I showed up maybe like 6 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and sat on the like bottom of the building. I don't remember what building, but, and just because I was like, I need to be seen for this. So I waited hours and hours and cold. And then the building opened up, so we were able to like get in. But I think we were, it was at the Equity building maybe. So then if you're not Equity, you can't get in.
Right.
So then there's like this like, there's this like hallway where like on like non-Equity people can wait or something. So I waited and then I got seen. I didn't get the job, but yeah, I would do that basically every day when there's a, if there's an audition happening.
Okay. And so then you did end up getting an agent.
Yes, I did.
How did you get your agent?
So I did initially when I graduated and I came here, I think it was a time where still like paper submissions were like acceptable. I don't know if they are right now.
Yeah, it's mostly electronic.
Yeah, but
digital.
I did make like a cover letter and headshots and put it in like an envelope and sent it out to all agencies. Because that was a couple years back, maybe 5 years back or so.
Well, good to know it works because it may still work now.
Yeah, but when I met up with those agencies first thing after college, they weren't very interested. They still met up with me, but they were like, let me know if anything comes up, is kind of what they said, and nothing happened afterwards. But when I got the job Waterfall, that was kind of my way to reach out again to those agencies.
Smart.
And said, hey, we met a while back. Could we have another interview again? I have something coming up. And
so that's a great lesson. If you meet with an agent and they say, you know, oh, follow up when you get a job or something, then do it. Don't be afraid to do it, because Riza is an example. That's how she got her. And it was probably years later, right?
Yeah.
And so she still, it still worked.
Yeah. It was like a year after like of unemployed. I was just auditioning. And then I finally got the job. I was like, this is the time to reach out for an agent.
Smart.
But it's such a weird battle, because if you don't have an agent, it's hard to get a job.
Right.
But if you have a job, then you can get an agent to get more job. It's really interesting how it works.
Right.
But that's how I got my first agent.
And then you said when you auditioned for Mean Girls, you actually had an agent.
I did.
But what happened?
But I feel like sometimes it's hard to get in the room, even though you have an agent. And they're so on your side. And I love my agent now. And he's my friend, and he's the biggest supporter of me. But sometimes they can't get me in the room because I've never been on Broadway and such. So I was still going to a lot of open calls. But because I was Equity, I was guaranteed to be seen. But I still went to an open call because I didn't get invited to Mean Girls dance call. Yeah, so I went to an ECC and I had a great time.
It was easier this time because now you were Equity, right? So you didn't have to wait for hours or anything.
No, easier, but still a lot of work, I'd have to say, because there's a lot of Equity people who are unemployed, who's doing exactly the same as you are, putting exact amount of work. So non-Equity, it's hard in a way because you're not guaranteed to be seen, and you're putting in so much work.
Right.
So that's the mental game, I think, that you have to play as non-Equity and Equity. But even if you're Equity, you still have to push for a job.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I think Risa is the perfect example of someone who stands out in the room. Like, I'm sure her personality is coming across on this podcast. She's just like this ball of energy and light and just sweet. Always has a smile on her face. And I think that people respond to that. And that isn't something that you can really necessarily work on. Although, you should. Because that is something that will help you get the job. You know, I'm doing all these podcasts and people say, you know, it's who do I want to be with for a year?
Right.
And so I feel like that's something that comes across with you. So walk us through the audition process for Mean Girls.
So I wasn't in the lab.
Uh-huh.
And
I wasn't either.
You weren't either.
They did, for Mean Girls, they did about four labs before it actually goes to Broadway. A lab is mm-hmm. kind of where they workshop it. They do a staged reading almost, or a production, just to see what they have. And then from that, each one, they'll make changes. So mm-hmm. neither one of us, almost everybody from the workshops ended up being in the Broadway show, but yeah. we weren't in the workshops.
Yeah, so I wasn't in the lab. I wasn't able to audition for the lab because mm-hmm. I was back in Japan visiting my family. So then I thought I missed out. Mm-hmm. Oh, this would have been so fun. But then I saw an ECC pop up. So I was like, oh, I don't know what this means, but I'll go. So then I went, and it was... Because sometimes ECC, we don't know if they're really looking for
That's
somebody
right.
or if they're
just... Shows are required to have equity calls even if the entire cast has already been cast.
Yeah.
So sometimes they're actually looking for people, sometimes they're not. So you can prepare for this audition and get in the room and not even know that they're not looking for anybody.
Yeah.
But it's still good to go because they might keep a mental note and they might remember you, oh, for replacements
yeah.
and things like that. I'm sure, I know that they remember people.
Yeah, it's always worth to go, but you can't really expect an outcome from it.
Yes.
The expectations have to be controlled within yourself mm-hmm. so that the rejection doesn't hit you as huge.
Yeah, my goal is always just to do my best
yeah.
and then let it go. Like, I throw out my mm-hmm. audition sides, everything. I just want to do my best. And if I do my best, then I feel like it was a worthwhile audition.
Yeah. You leave it in the room.
That's right.
And then say goodbye.
Yeah.
After that, you can't control anything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those auditions for me where I was able to have so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen always because... Mm-hmm. Audition seasons are hard, and especially if when I was unemployed, I was going to auditions all the time and then going home to babysitting or going
That's
home
right.
to survival jobs. And then the next morning you will get up early again and go to auditions. So it's like the cycle of that. And if you start to beat yourself up of why you're not getting jobs, then you start to burn out.
Yes.
But somehow Mean Girls audition, I didn't feel that way. There was a drum. John Epcar was playing the drum, and the piano was fun. The music was fun. I've never heard this music, but it felt freeing. The choreography was fun.
Was it hard? Because that choreography is hard.
It was hard, but it was very freeing. It's from Underdogs in Fearless, uh-huh. which is like all the girls are dancing because they feel the freedom. From Regina,
uh-huh.
that part of the dance was the ECC dance. And I had so much fun that I was able to leave it back in the room. And then I got a call back for weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
And
all you had to do for the first audition was dance.
Dance.
Oh, that's it. No singing.
No singing.
Okay.
So that was kind of nice so that I didn't know if I got cut or mm-hmm. if I did good or bad. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I just danced and that was it. And I went on with my day. And then I heard later that there is a callback, but it was the invited dance call. So what happens, I don't know if whoever is listening knows, but...
No, yeah, tell them everything. Yeah.
But the invited dance call is usually through an agency, through castings, where you get invited to the dance call. So if you are on Broadway or if you're known by the casting, they'll send you an email to... the dance school. But if you are not invited to those, you have to go to an ECC to be invited to the invited dance school.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. So it's almost like you're auditioning to get the audition.
Yes, exactly. So I showed up. I was like, oh my God, I got a callback. And there's still lots of girls that were invited that had more credits than me that I've seen, or my friends who I know that they're doing great in this business. So I was like, oh, shoot, like I thought I did good, but here I am. But I still had fun, and they made a cut, and they had a sing.
So when they cut people, that just means there's... Are you guys all standing around? How does that happen?
So you dance in the room. Usually they teach you the combination, dance three or four at a time, and then they'll send you back to the holding room. And usually the casting comes in with a pile of headshots and say, the following people, could you stay and sing? And then they'll call you names.
All the other people know that they're not.
Oh, that's so painful. It is a painful time, but we all do it.
I know.
All
I kind of remember having that when I started out too.
Yeah. So we're all in the room. Sometimes your friend gets to sing and I don't, or I get to stay and somebody else doesn't. But that time I was lucky enough to stay and sing. And I remember this round, it was Brendan, our dance captain at Mean Girls, and Bethany Knox, the casting. It was just them. I was super nervous, but I prepared my song, so I sang it. And I was like, oh, this is it. I'm done. And they asked me to sing one more song. And usually what happens is, like, you have to prepare your book.
Yes.
So you have a couple of song options so that you, if they ask something like this, could you sing another song that's more ballad or pop or
whatever. I'm going to do a whole podcast on a book.
Great. So listen to that. But so I had a song, but in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm done. So then they asked me to sing and I got so nervous and I left and I was like, oh, I could have done better. And I remember talking to my friends. I was like, oh, I wish I had another chance because I can do better. And then I got a call back. Mm. So I was like so happy. And I was like, oh, I can show them I can do better, basically. And that was the final call.
Oh, wow. So only three altogether.
Three rounds for me. Because what I didn't know was that they were only looking for one track. For the ensemble.
Oh.
I had no idea. So I show up to the final call. There's Tina Fey, Jeff Richman, and now everybody, Casey, everybody was in the room. And sweet Casey goes, hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. We're only looking for one female ensemble and two swings. So please don't feel like you're rejected or anything.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, like, let's have so much fun. And you guys are all amazing.
I love him.
Yeah, so that kind of like took a lot of pressure off my shoulder. Because like, oh, they're looking for one.
Yeah.
It's not going to be me. There are 30, 40 girls still here on the final call. And that's crazy. And I had no swing experience. And I saw a lot of my friends who's done swings on Broadway.
Swing is they sort of understudy everybody, every single track in the ensemble.
Yes.
So it takes a certain mindset to be a swing. You have to be crazy organized and
crazy
just
talented.
Incredible, crazy talented, be able to do so many different things. Because they also, I mean, everybody has a featured part, especially in Mean Girls.
Yeah, everybody has lines.
Yeah, so you have to have a different character for each person. Okay, so anyway, that's the swing.
Yeah, that's a swing. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, so then they said one track, one onstage track, and two swings. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll have a chance for swing. But I was like, no, I don't. I've never done it before. So then I was kind of able to like have fun in the room dancing. And after that, they made a cut. And they had a few of us sing our own song. And they made another cut. And it was down to like maybe five or six of us to read. And that's where like I read for Janis, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where I understudied Janis. But yeah, so that was the final call, and it was a crazy experience because, you know, Tina was right in front of me, yeah. And Casey Nicholaw and everybody, like Jeff and Nell, and everybody was in the room. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, I'm doing this.
So yeah. How did you find out you got it?
So then 2 days later, uh-huh. My agent called me.
Oh, so then they went through your agent, even though yes. You didn't audition through your agent. Okay.
No. My agent called me and said, hey, Risa, what color do you wear on Wednesdays? And then I broke down. I was like, no.
Oh my God.
I'm like remembering, tearing up. I was like a Penn Station. I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
like,
you're going to be on Broadway. Sweet.
I was like, oh my God, what's happening?
So Risa made her Broadway debut through yeah. an open call.
Yeah.
It happens. That was great, Risa. I'm going to just ask you two more questions.
Yeah.
What do you wish you knew when you started?
I think there are two things. I still am learning, but how to deal with rejections uh-huh. and how to mentally prepare for that, but also deal with what happens after you get rejected and how to deal with your brain going mm-hmm. through. And I still have to I'm still learning.
What do you do now? Do you have a go-to?
Just like we said, you know, like right. try to leave it in the yeah. room. After that, there's nothing else you can do.
If it's something that I really, really wanted, I mean, like a real dream role, I will allow myself a day to indulge and listen to sad music and cry it out. Just stay, you know. I mean, I used to do this more when I didn't have kids. Now that I have kids, I'm not. I don't really have liberty to do that. But that is what I would do. I would just be like, I'm not getting out of bed today. You know, I'm just gonna and then let it go after that day. It's yeah. like, all right, I mourned that part yeah. being gone.
Does that happen to you still now, where it's like?
No, I don't. And normally I don't get upset at all anymore. Yeah, just because I've just, you know, I have kids. I'll be upset that I don't have money to. I'm like, oh, great. Now I have to pay for school. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it.
So much more like life things.
Yeah.
To
yeah. More about. So than like, oh my gosh, I have to play this part.
Yeah. Right. More like a serious yeah. day-to-day thing.
Yes.
Yeah. But what do I do? I love coffee.
Coffee helps you get over the rejection.
Yes, so I'll like go get like a fancy coffee okay. at a fancy cafe and
treat yourself. You're treating yourself.
Yeah, treating myself. You know, and I love Toy Story.
Oh, yes.
Toy Story is my favorite thing ever, so I might watch like one of the movies.
That's smart.
Or go to the Disney store and buy myself Toy Story figurines. Or anything to treat myself and tell myself that I'm good enough and I'm talented.
You know, oh, that's awesome.
That's hard to do when you keep getting rejections.
Totally.
But it's so important. And if that means that you need to go to your friends
yeah.
and say, tell me that I'm talented.
Yeah, you have to have somebody.
Yeah, and you have to have friends or support system mm-hmm. in the city to do this crazy business.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it alone.
I've been doing it since I was 9. And so my parents instilled in me that, you know, it's not about you. It might just be that they want someone with a different color hair that, you know, it's, yeah. and it is so random. My first Broadway show I got, partially why I got it mm-hmm. was that I had the same name as the main producer's niece and he loved her.
Never know.
You just never, ever know.
Never know.
What advice do you have to young people starting out? Are there any like secret things that people might not know about, you know, like where they could get their equity card or any, can you think of anything like that? Like, oh, this is a great.
I'd say, take care of your mental health.
Mm.
Be aware of where your feelings are and just you're allowed to feel anything.
Mm.
And let yourself feel whatever you're feeling, whether sad, angry, or whatever.
Jealous.
Jealous. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like oftentimes I suppress that. I was mm-hmm. like, no, I should be grateful.
Oh.
And yeah, we all are grateful for living mm-hmm. healthy life. But that's okay for you to feel whatever you're feeling. And also enjoy the journey.
Yes.
I'm so thankful to be on Broadway, but I'm also very thankful for the journey that took me here. Mm-hmm. And I'm still on this journey.
Yeah.
And I don't think I realized what that means, really. I feel like people told me that before. It's like, it's all about the process. But I think I was so focused on like, oh, I want to be on Broadway. Which
yes.
is, you know, that's a goal. Mm-hmm. But that's not the ending.
That is
of
exactly
your life.
Right. Yeah.
And
like, I don't know about you, but I would be happy performing anywhere. I just love, and I think that if you want to do this, this is, you have to love this so much that mm-hmm. it doesn't, yes, Broadway is a goal, but mm-hmm. you have to be happy doing it in some small town in Texas
yeah.
or wherever, just because mm-hmm. you have this passion, you just want to perform.
Yeah. Because if you're not happy performing in a small town,
yeah, that's right,
you're not going to be happy on Broadway
100%. And we've worked yeah. with people like that.
Yeah.
People on Broadway are miserable because they thought this was going to change their life, and it doesn't change your life. It's still...
The work still continues.
Yeah.
You still have to work hard. You still have to do exactly the same thing what you were doing. It's on a different stage.
And if you're not happy when you're not on Broadway, if you're mm-hmm. not happy because you're not on Broadway, when you get on Broadway, you're still not going to be happy because it's not going to be what you thought it was.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Or you're going to still compare yourself.
That's right.
To other people that are on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
Or other people that are doing TV
better,
stuff.
Yes.
There's always 100%. A way for humans to compare yourself. And that's the battle as humans. And you can't have these like expectations. And I'm still learning and forcing myself to enjoy this journey that is life. And it's incredible when you can enjoy it and enjoy the relationship that or friendship that you build.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so fun to talk to you, Carrie.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I am so happy to have you on. Thank you so much. We had so much fun in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Risa would, her character, and she created this,
yeah.
would make, what is it called?
Origami paper
origami
cranes.
Paper. And so when I was Miss Norberry, I would come around and every time it was so much fun. We would just improvise little scenes little while things. The main scene was going on. So I'd come over and confiscate
yeah.
her or like take them. She'd get so mad when I would take them because yeah. also a lot of times she would give them and then they would collect them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what would they do with them? Did they auction them off or?
So I give one to Cheech who plays Kevin G, mm-hmm. who's my stage boyfriend. I'll give one to him and one to the stage management.
Oh.
And the stage management will collect all the origami. So now we've done like, what, 600 shows? So they have like 600 origamis.
Oh, they still have them? They should have
yeah.
auctioned those off in the flea market.
Well, we did.
Okay.
Actually, but there's so many that like we still have a lot. So if you're interested, if you want to donate to BCEFA.
Yes, yes. DM Risa on Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
At Risa Takahashi. Find me on Instagram.
And do you have anything else you want to plug?
No, honestly, follow me on my journey on Instagram. And if you have any questions about anything, just feel free to DM me. And, you know, I support also Asians on Broadway or any
yes.
colors of people on Broadway. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about that, feel free.
Oh, thank you, Risa.
Of course.
Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Broadway, produced by Dori Berenstein, edited by Alan Seals, opening song by Aaron Accurso and Joey Mazzarino. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, please like, leave a comment, or share with your friends. See you next time for more insider tips to making it on Broadway.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.